Also, I'm going to go ahead and give you a homework assignment for the summer. Can you believe that? I am. My homework assignment for the weekend, or for the summer, I would really encourage you to read, did I say this last week? To read the book of Leviticus and to read the book of Numbers. Leviticus now will put it into perspective, as the video just showed. This is how God set up for the people to come before a holy God and offer the sacrifices. And I know that you'll see it in a different way, understanding that it was very merciful and gracious of God to make a way through those sacrifices for the people to receive forgiveness. And then Numbers is the rest of the story. So we leave Exodus and they're just kind of getting started, and Numbers will continue that walking in the wilderness. Well, I'm going to just share for a few minutes just a brief little overview of some themes. Let's start and let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this journey that you have led us on this year through the book of Exodus. Thank you for opening our eyes to see more about you, to see your grace and your mercy and your power, because you are an amazing God. And so, Father, we want to worship you. As we learned that the Israelites were called to worship, we want to bow before you and we want to worship you, who you are and what you alone are able to do. So, Father, may our hearts meditate upon you this morning. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, amen. Amen. Well, ladies, as I was thinking about the book of Exodus, it reminded me of this puzzle piece. Now, I love to put puzzles together. Do I have anyone else in here who loves to put a puzzle together? All right, I like a good puzzle. Also, as I'm putting a puzzle together and it's all in front of me, I might pick up a piece and I might look at it and I might think, yeah, I don't know. And I put it down. And then, of course, I keep working and then I'll pick up that same piece again and I'll look at it a little bit more closely and think, well, I see some colors and I see some shapes here. Kind of have a general sense of where it might go. Not ready to put it in that place yet, but I'll just kind of put it in that quadrant of where I think it should go. Keep working again. Finally, pick it up and have that moment. You know what I'm talking about? Where all of a sudden you see it and you're like, that's where it goes. Well, I'm hoping that you have looked at the book of Exodus this year and seen some things about it that you've never seen before, some colors and some shapes, and never really had a place to put it before. And my prayers for all of us is that all of a sudden we look at God's big redemptive story of the Bible and put Exodus in a spot that it belongs. And it does. It's got a very special spot as we've been talking. It is the Old Testament's story of redemption in the bigger picture of God's story. So we're going to look this morning at just a few of the themes that we saw in the book of Exodus and that are repeated throughout Scripture and are also a gospel message. So I just have this morning just some verses that we're going to be looking at because I want God's word to speak to us. I'm not going to be doing much teaching. I'm asking God to teach us through his word. So one of our key verses in Exodus was Exodus 19, verses 4 through 6. And just focus and read along with me because this is who God is and what he did in Exodus. So Moses has now just come down from the mountain for the very first time, and God has told him to tell this to the people. This is right after crossing the Red Sea. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenants, you shall be my treasured possession among all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. There is their God, and there is their call. So let's look at some themes. So within Exodus, we saw a rescue. And we learned that God is powerful and compassionate. Let's look where we also see this in Scripture. Here we have King David. Later in Psalm 18, he wrote these words after God rescued him from the hand of Saul. Look at the similarities about who God is. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. David testified to God's ability to save. And we know that it's only Jesus that saves. And there is salvation found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Do you see the connection? Salvation in Exodus, salvation through Scripture, leading to salvation in Jesus, the only way we can be saved. So we saw a theme of God being powerful and compassionate and rescuing. We also saw a theme of redemption by a blood sacrificed and learned that God is merciful. Well, we spent a lot of time looking in Hebrews, didn't we? Because there's such a great connection. So Hebrews 9:12 says, Jesus entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing eternal redemption. In the Old Testament, those sacrifices were for redemption, but it was not eternal. Only Jesus, the promised one, could secure eternal redemption. Ladies, can you imagine the Hebrews getting this letter that was written to them, knowing the history of the Old Testament, and then understanding with fresh eyes Jesus entering that holy place and how powerful that was to him? That's exciting. That's when we look at Scripture with new eyes, understanding what had been and then what took place to fulfill it. So we saw rescue and we saw redemption. We also saw God make a covenant with his people. And we learned that God is faithful. So look at these verses. And there are quite a bit, but I love this about the covenant. So the old covenant we read earlier had some stipulations to it. They had to obey. But look at this new covenant. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord. I was about ready to sing. When I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Was it a bad covenant he made with them? No. But it was not the final covenant. My covenant that they broke. Though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them, and will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. I would love to teach on this. This is so wonderful. If you think what we learned in Exodus, where the priests had to be the ones that could go in and the priests had to represent, and now this new covenant, we don't need that anymore. We can all learn. No one is special, has special privileges before God. We all do. Isn't that exciting? And then when it says, after those days, do you know what those days were? Those were the days of Jesus, when he came and instituted the new covenant that no longer is it on tablets of stone, but it is now in our hearts. Amazing covenant. So we learned a rescue, we learned a redemption, we learned a God who makes a covenant. Oh, and let me mention with the covenant too, we studied a Sermon on the Mount a couple years ago. Remember Matthew 5:17, where Jesus says, do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Jesus came to fulfill that law of Moses and to establish the new covenant. Well, unfortunately, those were all good things, but we also saw in Exodus sin, disobedience, and judgment. And we learned that God is just. Boy, I tell you, not too long after the people arrive in the promised land, we see the book of Joshua, and then we see the book of Judges. And look what Judges 2:11-12 says. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baals. And they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the people who were around them and bowed down to them. And they provoked the Lord to anger. Now I read this and I want to yell, no, no, you knew better, you knew better. But did they know better? Yes, but did they change? No. And so you see this pattern of disobedience all throughout the people. All throughout. The people knew who God was, yet their sinful nature had them bow down to other idols. Let me read this quote that is in a book called No God But God by Os Guinness and John Seal. Listen to this. I'm going to read it twice and let it sink in. Idolatry is the most discussed problem in the Bible. There can be no believing communities without an unswerving eye to the detection and the destruction of idols. Let me say that last part again. There can be no believing communities, solid churches, Bible-believing churches, gospel-preaching churches, without an unswerving eye to the detection and the destruction of idols. God warned the people over and over again about idols. And something that just hit me for the very first time. When you read the book of 1 John, it's all the book about love, loving one another in the covenant. And I never understood this, and I think I'm starting to grasp it. The very last verse in 1 John 5:21, after all this spiraling about love, this is what John writes. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. And it hit me, ladies. John needed to say the same thing to those people. Remember, the last thing you say to someone is generally the thing that they remember. And I believe that the Apostle John wanted them to know, keep yourselves from idols. It's a message to us today. We have idols, and we know that. And how quickly we bow down to them, even though we know that we have a Lord God Almighty. So we also saw in Exodus, God promised to lead the people to a land flowing with milk and honey. And we learned that God is good. Well, we are on a similar journey, aren't we, to a promised land. and it has its bumps, and it has its curves. But let's look at what Revelation 21:3 says. And here's our hope. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. This is our promised land, ladies. This is the new heaven and the new earth that is coming, and we are just on the journey to get there. And what a glorious, perfect home this is going to be. Well, my encouragement for you today, as you are on this journey, and for myself, we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is waiting for us, has prepared a place for us, and is coming back to take us home. And I'm going to close with these verses from Romans 15. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Many of you are in a wilderness situation right now. We have a God of hope. We have a place that we are going. We have a God, as we learned in Exodus, who is powerful, compassionate, merciful, faithful, just, and always good. So when you are in a place in your wilderness where you are in despair, go to Exodus and claim those promises. Lord, you were faithful to your sinful people. I need your faithfulness in my life. Lord, you were compassionate. You see my pain. You saw their pain. Show your compassionate to me. Hold him to those promises, because he is a God who can be counted on. My favorite verse in the whole Bible, just so you know, is Romans 15:13. And this is my prayer for all of us. In our wilderness, on our journey, may the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is our hope. To him be the glory. Amen. Father, you are our hope. Lord Jesus, you are our Redeemer. We are women who come before you, and our lives can be messy, but you call us to walk a life of faith and trust in you. The Israelites had to learn to trust you. Lord, we are learning to trust you. Help us in our unbelief. Help us to believe who you are and what you alone are doing. We want to trust you because we know that you are able. So, Father, this day as we go out into whatever we go out into, good times or hard times, may you be praised and may you go before us. To you be the glory both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. What a great journey, ladies.